Sitting here in Robert's balcony with Robert in Berlin Neukölln at Reuterstrasse. Robert, what do you think? What is most urgent of the radical movement in Berlin right now? So what is happening and what should be happening in the radical Berlin movement?
There are several issues that are try to be dealt with by several organizations, actually. And like, for instance, like I don't know, like you might have heard, like there's a lot of things happening with rents going up here in Berlin. Like the so-called gentrification has been a part of Berlin social dynamics for a while now. So prices are going up. And so people try to organize and like neighborhoods and try to oppose those powers, so to speak. Like where like flats are privatized and sold to rich investors. So that's a big part of the movement. I'm trying to mobilize against this procedure. Also, what's very important is like the like what is at hand now is the energy discussions about like how energy from that is provided by the Stadtwerke, so called, like by the big commune or owned companies, but they are like they are supposed to be privatized also. So there's a movement against that, against the privatization of energy resources, like who provide electricity, because that's very important too. And what's also pressing is water supply. Like the water supply is also organized by the commune, like owned by the city. It's a city company, and there had been a big like struggle to privatize them and sell those water supply facilities, and there had been like secret negotiations that had been going on, and like it's still the people have tried to make them more public, and they reached a kind of like success for this. So the contracts that have been signed secretly are now public, and so the city is trying to buy the facilities back, and so that's a big part of politics that happen here also. Well, and I don't know, like there's been lots of the confusion going on, like the organizations who try to, or the movements are that try to oppose the ongoing privatization and rising in prices of all kinds of stuff, like living space, electricity, water supply, all those kinds of stuff that I mentioned before. They are still not really well organized. So, because like people are not so much aware, maybe, or like they don't care. Like, what's most important, what's going on is like the people seem to be diverse or like distracted by so many issues, like that they are like trying to struggle with their own lives, and. And it's kind of difficult to make those radical movements be more like forceful, so to speak.
And what would you say about the near past? What has changed in the movement in Berlin, in the political activism? In, I don't know, let's say in the past 10 years, you have been living here also at least for 10 years now. So what sort of a change have you seen?
I think the radical movements are much less present at some sort. Like there have been some evictions going on of house projects, like houses that had been occupied before by people and then like they got evicted, and like people are much more frustrated, I think, and the movements that I spoke before of, they're kind of coming from the more middle class sections, like people who were like really radical. They have been a lot of setbacks in the last couple of, like, in the last decade. So they had not experienced a lot of support. So they're kind of scattered, I would say. And that makes it very hard to, yeah, to find an ongoing growth in in radical perspective. So that's kind of sad, actually.
Let's stay in Berlin for a little while longer. What do you think, how can people who are new in relation to the movement and also in relation to the city could take part in the political actions in Berlin? Is there something that could be improved in this sense?
Yeah, I think as I might have indicated before, it's like it's important to talk to one another, to take part in one another's life, like really share information, like be more focused, so to speak, like and focused on the issues, like rents, for instance. And like push those investors back in their attempt to privatize. So like that's what people, I think, could be more active in. I would love this to happen. I would like this to happen. But in order to make this happen, I think that there should be like more public publicity, like really ongoing, like open discussions happening. I mean, there are I think those things are happening, but they're still kind of like very, very limited in space, or like very local, and kind of, I would say, like reduced, and they're very precise or very like political. Ideologically closed dynamics or ideology, like they are kind of like stick to themselves, sort of like they have like their own language. So that's very like hard to get into, like that's like not very like inviting, maybe, because it's very 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 focused on individualistic or like group orientated needs, like they're what I think it's not happening so much as like the transparency or like to generalize the problem, like, and make more connectable. It's a little bit inconsumerable or something. It's not intelligible so much, and that makes it hard for people to actually get like be interested in those kind of movements, because like they feel excluded.
Berlin is loved not only by the investors but also by many young people all around Europe, not only Europe, also by me.
Yeah.
Not from Berlin originally, and these young people from other European countries or from southern Germany might get some, let's say, negative attention sometimes in Berlin. And do you... I mean that they are sort of put together with the gentrification, so to say. And do you see this as a problem?
Yeah, I think that... I mean, like, what do you love about Berlin, for instance? Like, this is, like, very... It's very important, like, to distinguish... between very materialistic oriented investors who like just want to make profit and are much more concerned about like their own like pocket to get bigger, so to speak. And also that there are people who just want to experience the ongoing like openness, which is still there, like in exploring the life of Berlin, which is also like always had been very cultural or multicultural. And that's so like it depends, like for instance, like what do you love about Berlin? Like I think that's like what do you want? Like I think from my perspective, I would not judge anybody who comes here by like just say, oh, are you pushing up prices and stuff? Like, I mean, like this is always happen. This is of course a problem, so to speak. Like when people come from other parts of Europe, who they experience to be much more intense in the meaning of like what rent prices are, and they come to Berlin and they say, oh, it's still cheap here. Although people who live in Berlin for a long time, they're like, okay, now it's not cheap anymore if people come here, and like they are like easy to convince to pay much higher rent because they are still comparably cheap to other places in Europe. So that's kind of like it's a problem, yes. Like there's also like the need of ongoing discussions about gentrification in this sense, that people who come here need to know that there's that space is not limited by there's enough space to live in, but it's not equally shared, or like there's not equal possibilities to share space. I mean, like it's always dependent on how you're willing to pay for a flat, for instance, if you want to live here. And I think this is part of the problem of the political movement in Berlin, also like to make this more transparent and organized with people who come here and like have an ongoing discussion or established discourse about like being open to new people and also problematize the ongoing process of gentrification.
Let's move on to the German level. How would you describe, let's say, contemporary German activism?
Diverse. It's like it's always... That's a very overgeneralized question. Like, activism is... this depends on how what kind of focus you wanna discuss now. It's like there's a lot of like right wing organizations also like they're kind of making move forward, like getting more accepted in politics, like more elaborate, not like the so to speak stupid Nazis. They're also there. But like, what I think is more a problem is like the sophistication of nationalism that has happened like in the past years, where like the big parties, political parties in Germany, they kind of occupy the right wing movement's arguments, but they like intellectualize them and make them more like accessible and on common grounds for the public. And that's like kind of what I'm afraid is happening a lot. Like activism is been done by extremists on one side, right-wing extremists, and also radical left-wing movements, like who are kind of oppose those right-wing extremists and also are struggling with opposing the more elaborate nationalism that has been established by big parties in Germany. So it's very diverse. Yeah, the activism is like it's still yeah, I mean, like, it's an ongoing battle, so to speak.
And if we focus on the German anti-capitalistic movements, how would you describe them? Or do you see, are there any certain problems right now, German-wide, that should be solved?
Yeah, German-wide should be solved. Like, yeah, one of the biggest problems, I would say, is still... how refugees are being dealt with. So, if we look at, oh, I forgot to mention this. Like, if you look in Berlin, for instance, like there's like a big refugee camp in at Kottbusser Tor or near Oranienplatz, on the Oranienplatz right now, and they have like very radical. Ideas, or like they have urges, like needs and claims, like they're very radical claims. What should be done, and they don't get a lot of support. Not even by, like, sometimes they get criticized even by left-wing movements, for instance, so to speak, because like they say like we don't eat until you fulfill our demands, and they're being criticized for their radicality, because it's going, yeah, it's called like they're not open for negotiation. I would say like, yeah, well, how could you be open for negotiations if it's about like a very yeah, if they want to underline or make it very clear that their human right to be here or like have the freedom to move anywhere they like is being kicked upon, or yeah, they've been dealt with a lot of disrespect. So and I think that is also a very, very urgent problem, like how the German politicians are not like on the big scale, and also like on the like more localized, grounds, taking seriously into account that people who've been through a lot and being discriminated against, not just materialistic, like because of their like incapacity of having lots of money, also because like they have a different color. So there's a lot of racism going on still, even in the left movements, so to speak. And that has not been very clear yet. Like, it is not... It's still a process. Like, to make it like more clear, like, okay, those demands are... They are justified... And they just need to be fulfilled. Also, like they're not taken seriously so much, I think. And so that's also because that's why they kind of choose to just say, okay, we are in a hunger strike now, and until our demands, which are actually kind of like understandable if you think of the perspective of the ones who suffer from this discrimination, like they just say, like, oh, we want every refugee to be have the right of movement. Like, we don't want any Residenzpflicht, so to speak. Like, it's a kind of law that demands any refugee to stay in a certain district and they don't have the right to move freely. They have to be they have to be present at this in this local area all the time. And they say, look, this needs to stop. And they don't get so much support. And that makes them even more radical. Like, and that actually leaded to them choosing hunger strike. And they get criticized by all kinds of, like, people. And say, oh, that's not... that's not the right way because like you actually destroy all the process they already made. You can't be so. You need to be patient. And it's like, and they, so like you to ask somebody who's really like living on no safety grounds, like, and to ask of them to be patient is like very, very disrespectful, I would say. And then it's also cynic.
Something that has happened in the recent years in Germany is Blockupy Frankfurt, the Action Days of Frankfurt. I think that has happened this year and the year before. Do you think that Blockupy Frankfurt could play a central role in organizing the European movements?
I mean, like, of course, it has played a central role already, I think, to kind of like connect people, forming an institution for that can transport media transparency about like what activism is and what problems are that had to that seem that are of concern of all the people. And so I think it's a step in the right direction. Like there needs to be like more of those things happening all in all, like all kind of city. Would be nice to like, and as I said before, like what is actually important is like to have a more to have more safety or more solid attempts to form organizations that are providing, that are open to provide a dynamic to connect people. Yeah, and to not like leave them alone in struggling.
And what do you think, or what else could happen? What sort of concrete actions could take place in the European framework? What could be the next step, or what other things could happen?
I think it depends of like on how many people are getting organized and how radical their demands are. I think that's like, and radical demands, I would say, like you could question capitalism on a like very like basic grounds, or like what attack used to start with was like, oh, we just tax differently. We have needed more, like we need to what is the term? I am missing an English term now. Das heißt verteilen. Verteilen. Redistribute. Yeah. So attack like you used to like have this like more tax oriented like redistribution of wealth theme, and I think redistribution of wealth is a very it's still very, very important, and it could like happen like very radically to ask why are resources like distributed the way they are, and who has access to them, and why is it this way, and we want it differently, so we need to change. We need to make a change in laws, and to make like the legislative much more stronger. Which also means like question like how the legislative is structured right now, and also like then question administrative politics, and so like. For instance, like they have like the discussion about democracy and like do we live in a democracy? What is the democracy structured? Like, how is it structured? So, and I wouldn't say like that we have a lot of democratic elements in our democracy, and there. So, but if you want to go there, then you need a lot of people to ask have these questions on their minds and ask them in a very radical way. And that could happen, but it's always more powerful if this, of course, if this is like coming from the masses, like from the streets. And this is always a question of organization, of how they are organized.
Let's go to the final questions. My favorite one first. And it sounds like this. How would you describe the most central problems of our capitalistic society?
That's like, I think I've mentioned this, like, or like, that was, I indicated it a little bit that I think this is a lot about like the distribution of resources and having access to possibility of like organizing life that is referring to resources, of course, because we live in a very materialistic driven society. And I mean, always like who has the access to resources? This is always the most common question, and I think this is one of the most important problems to be dealt with. And like from this point, there a couple of questions derive from, and like debt, for instance, is very important subject. We are living we are in an ongoing crisis. Capitalism has been it's coming clear, so to speak, that capitalism itself is the problem. It's not the crisis in the capitalism, because like we are now in crisis for like 5 years, a continuous crisis. So like, I think that people, it's becoming more aware that this crisis will not be over ever until we end capitalism. So like the common lies like, oh, we just need to be like, we just have to repair the little mistakes in the system. And I mean, you could take a look in America, for instance, like in the United States, of course. Like, I'm not just reducing America to the United States, but I meant the United States. So there's like the biggest, like most powerful institution of the world. One of the most powerful institutions is the Federal Reserve, the bank that is a central bank, which is private, and they have like been given the task to make the economy more better, like actually growing again and more sustainable, but they have little instruments to do that. Like the only thing they can do is like have an influence on monetary policy, like reducing interest rates, which they have done, and to make money cheaper for the banks, of course, they get credit. So that this is like it's a very pro-capitalistic, a very strong pro-capitalistic attempt or force they're using. This one and the even more pro-capitalistic force is like to buy back debt that cannot be paid by the banks, for instance. Like the Federal Reserve, for instance, like even buys stocks, and like in an unlimited supply for like they can, because they have total control about the monetary policy. And then it's like, if you understand that actually a central bank has very little instruments to provide for the people, because they are actually they provide for the economic system on a general account, which always goes for the ones who have more. Like not like they don't they don't like the instruments of the central banks, they don't distinguish between the poor and the rich. Like they always go with like they on the broader scale of the capitalistic system itself. So debt, for instance, is be dealt with by printing even more money and reducing the value of money. So if you reduce the value of money, you also reduce the value of debt, which makes like you can make the debt disappear by just printing more money, which also means like that you kind of like reduce the amount of value, for instance, a proletarian has to sell the only thing that he has, because he doesn't have any any capitalistic means. He only has his working power, and he like by printing more money, like the value of the labor is also reduced. But then at the end, like the human being who is dependent on his work, on his like physical labor capabilities, has no means to make his life sustainable anymore.
As the last question, I would like to ask for our listeners of our Totuus Radio program, what would you like to say? So, to our listeners who wonder how they could participate in the building of a new world without debt and shame, capitalistic repression, all that is involved in that.
Organize. I mean, like, listen to each other, like, be, like, very careful with judgment on an individualistic level, like, be, like, more understanding of one another means like sharing perspectives is important, and like find common grounds and common language to communicate and fight on.
Thank you for the interview, Robert.
You're welcome.